Good evening, everybody, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you so much for joining us. You are tuned in live to the Massive Report podcast. I am not Bart Logan, but I am your host for this evening, Ralph Schudell, coming to you live on a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday evening, Tuesday edition of the Massive Report podcast. We are brought to you, as always, by the Old North Arcade at 2591 North High Street. You can hit them up at www.oldnorth.com. Arcade.com. Had to think about that for a second. And hashtag dope porch for my buddy Bart Logan. And welcome. I am not flying solo this evening. I am joined by two of my esteemed panel mates. First up, I want to welcome Mr. Alex Stanek. Alex, how are you doing today, sir?
Pretty good.
He's feeling good. We're going to talk about a little bit of Minnesota United, and Alex is going to be loading with that Legends game, so he's going to be bringing that to us. And then just hanging out, talking Mac Minis and coming off that high from the new Apple keynote today, Mr. Sam Fahmy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. A beautiful Tuesday day, guys. And Columbus Crew SC doing pretty well, finding their way into the playoffs, need we say, finally. After a thrilling 3-2 victory over Minnesota United, the fighting loons of the Greater North, goals by Giassi Zardes, we'll touch on that. As we touched on, too, the Legends game, Dante Washington, Kyle Martino was your favorite player in the Legends lineup. We'll have Alex Stanek on that as well, and then we'll preview a little bit of DC United. But let's go back to Sunday, Decision Day, as MLS likes to call it, and pimp it up. And it got started earlier than probably most decision days with the Legends game. As you guys might have heard, Save the Crew, along with Dante Washington, Kyle Martino, and a few other crew legends, organized a kind of small little pickup game that was witnessed by several people at the Ohio Historical Connection there, if I do recall. Alex, how was that? Let's talk a little bit about that event, my friend.
It was amazing. I'm not sure I've ever had more fun at a crew game than I did at the Legends game. And the best crew goal in history was scored at that game. If you go on Twitter and you search for the Legends game free kick, it was amazing. They had the whole team lined up behind the ball, and then one by one they would run over and run over the ball instead of kicking it, and they would just keep looping and looping and looping. And then at one point, Chris Wingert kind of peeled off from that group and just stood right next to the goal, and then somebody eventually passed it to them, and he just knocked it in. It was the silliest, most fun game I have ever seen. And after a year of just miserable BS as a crew fan and just hating life and not knowing what's happening, just being able to celebrate with those guys and just, you know, relax and have a good time, it was so much fun. And the players were super cool. They hung out a lot after the game and had a chance to talk to a lot of them. And just being able to hang out with those guys as if they're just normal people is something I hope we never take for granted, because it's not something that other teams really get to partake in. But in Columbus, it's just kind of a thing that happens. I think there's going to be another game next year. There's already some talk about it. All of the players apparently had a really, really good time. So there may be another game at some point next season. So keep an eye on that. But absolutely fantastic event. Kudos to Dante Washington and Kyle Martino for kind of getting the ball rolling on things. I know a bunch of other people helped out with Save the Crew and the Ohio History Connection and all kinds of different people kind of pitched in to make that happen. But I hope this becomes a regular thing. I think remembering your history is really important, as you know, we've learned in this whole process. You know, respect your roots, and those guys are our roots in a lot of ways. So getting to see the guys that I cheered for as a kid play one more time was amazing. Brian McBride, by the way, attempted not one but two bicycle kicks during the game, connected on one, but it was not a goal. But the fact that he even tried that was incredible to me. There were just lots of moments like that where, you know, players were kind of trying funny stuff and just having a good time. It was a well-deserved reward for all the crew fans who stuck it out through this whole process, and can't wait for the game next season.
Yeah, and you know, if you guys haven't seen that free kick, like Alex said, it is a vis-a-vis Harlem Globetrotters style free kick, which it's real comical. And I believe the net falls down too somehow
yes.
in that that exchange. So that was really cool. But Alex, I have a question for you there. You know, we saw kind of the teaser of who was attending the game and who was going to be on the rosters. Was there some sort of like fantasy draft that occurred beforehand, or were these teams pretty well determined in advance?
You know, I don't know. They had half of the players were wearing bibs and then half the players were not. I'm not sure if they had decided that ahead of time. There were, I think, four goalkeepers on the roster. And so seeing that was kind of funny. Some of the goalkeepers scored goals as well, which was entertaining. I actually think the first goal of the game was scored by a goalkeeper. So the whole thing was just a bunch of fun. Everybody was just having a good time. Chris Wingert, by the way, he scored that free kick goal, which I will go to my grave defending that goal as the greatest goal in Crew history. Number two, the second best goal in Crew history, was also scored in that game, also by Chris Wingert, when he kind of dribbled it down around a couple people, rounded the goalkeeper, ran across the front of the net, and then basically like back heel flicked it in from the far end of the goal. That was pretty fun. Chris Wingert can still play. Like, I would take him on the 2018 Crew roster if I'm being totally honest with you guys. It was a great time. Everybody was cracking up. You know, we were all kind of shouting stuff at the players, just having a good time. They were shouting back. The players would kind of leave the field for periods of time to go talk to their kids and things like that. It was just a great community event, and to have those players be part of the Crew family is something that we are really lucky to experience, and it was just kind of a celebration of that, celebration of them, celebration of us. Really, really great event, and really thankful to all the people who put it on.
Yeah, Chris Wingert actually still hacking it for the New York Cosmos in the NPSL. Shout out to a good friend of the podcast, Gary Moody, and those good folks over at the NPSL. But yeah, it looked like a great great event there. Again, I regrettably could not be in attendance for it, but as Alex said, a lot of the case, many cases were that it was a great event. Everybody really enjoyed it, got to interact. Dante Washington, too, if you guys can go out there and check out the internet clip. Dante's running laps, I believe, around the fans, you know, inside the perimeter of the field, just having a good time high-fiving everybody and stuff like that. So a great event to have by all, and to think, you know, we were 365 days ago very close to losing it all. And, you know, this is a beautiful thing to see the community come together. And, you know, I hope this does turn into a tradition because – you know, we need to get some new traditions. We got a new ownership. We need to bridge the gap between new ownership and the fans and, you know, start some new traditions. Be different. We haven't been like every other MLS club in Major League Soccer.
Do we need to bridge the gap, though? I mean, it is new ownership, but good grief, the new half
owner. We need to welcome.
The new half owner has been around the team since day one.
Yeah. Well, and that's the great thing about this. I mean, Pete Edwards was at the game. He was kind of chit-chatting with the families and with the players. I mean, a lot of these players he's known since they were kids in college, you know, or kids fresh out of college. It's really, really crazy. I was actually was thinking a lot about this at the game. My favorite moment of the game, and this is going to sound totally stupid, but Brian McBride was a lot of the players wore old jerseys and stuff like that. Brian McBride wore just like a Columbus Crew shirt. And I think it was a friend of the show, Zane Finney. I think it was Zane, but it might've been somebody else, brought their game worn McBride shirt to the game and had it, the original shirt from 96, that shirt with kind of the V at the top, the black shirt with the black and gold stripes at the top. He had brought that with him to get it signed. And at halftime, he basically gave it to Brian and said, "You can wear this in the second half." And he did. And seeing McBride, as a kid who was 8 years old and who was in love with the sport and saw Brian McBride and thought, "This guy is Superman. This guy is the coolest guy I've ever seen in my entire life." Seeing him put that Crew shirt on again, I got really emotional. Like, it just, there was something about him wearing that original 96 shirt It just made me really emotional, and it was just a great event. And Pete was there. He's been there since the beginning. He was also at an event the night before, T-Bone put on at Hofsporhaus House, and
By total surprise, because his wife made him go. Like he didn't like they didn't they didn't even he was that wasn't their in their plan, but his wife knew about it, and they brought them over there, to that event.
Who?
Dr. Edwards.
Dr. Edwards' wife knew about it.
Yeah.
Well, I just love, I mean, and I was thinking about this when we were at this event. I love that you can just have an owner show up. You know, Precourt could never do that, even if he
What
wanted
a
to.
concept.
But you can just be like, hey, Dr. Pete, we're having this event. You want to come out? And he can just be like, okay, sure. I'll come on out because this is where he lives. This is his home. And he can make the, 15-minute drive just like the rest of us can. We are in really good hands now. I am so thrilled. I'm so thrilled to have somebody be the owner of the team who knows arguably more about the team than I do. And I've been a fan since the beginning. It's just so awesome. And I cannot wait. Even before the game started, I was just on cloud nine. We could have lost to Minnesota 20 to nothing, and I would have gone out of there grinning like an idiot. Like, it was just the best day. It was amazing.
And rest assured, I wasn't, when I said the bridge of the gap thing, I wasn't necessarily, implying that there was, but I more of kind of a roll out the red carpet statement there, for, Pete. Obviously, he's gonna have a little bit of a different capacity with the team. And then, of course, the Haslams, who just let go of their head coach up in Cleveland for the Browns this week. But that's a story for a different podcast at some point. But as you guys said, the Legends game was wonderful. There was a lot of fun to be had, but we had business to take care of on decision day. Columbus Crew SC welcoming the Fightin' Loons of Minnesota United into Moffray Stadium, if you can believe it, for the first time ever. The Loons, in their second year in existence, did not make the trip to Columbus last season. Rather, Columbus Crew SC won, I believe, on a Kakuna Mane goal at TCF Bank Stadium way back on the 4th of July weekend in last season. But the night was an interesting one at that, Alex and Sam. If you can recall, the game got underway with the simultaneous kickoffs, as is tradition on decision day. However, in the 10th minute of the game, head official Robert Zabiga whistled a stop and play for severe weather in October. Yes, there was lightning, I believe, a report of lightning 4 miles away from Moffray Stadium at the time of the delay. And that actually led to a 67-minute severe weather delay, which, of course, has thrown out the entire concept of simultaneous kickoffs and taken out the entire thrill and drama of Decision Day for Columbus Crew SC, at least. Obviously, there were other games to be played there. As we would find out, Montreal would lose to the New England Revolution by the score of 1-0. And basically, the Columbus Crew SC game was, I don't want to say meaningless, but if Crew SC would win, they would face DC United. If they lose, they would face a struggling NYCFC team, which actually put the hammer down on the Philadelphia Union on Decision Day. But the game got back underway, and wouldn't you know it, Giassi Zardes said 67 minutes was a long time to be standing in the locker room, and scored the first goal 2 minutes in, as soon as the game started back up in the 11th minute. He then again found the score sheet in the 49th minute. Francisco Calvo answers back for the Loons in the 68th minute and the 77th minute. And Giassi Zardes says in the 83rd minute, "I've got the game, guys. Get on my back, and we're going to take it to the playoffs."
His first professional hat trick.
First professional hat trick. Crew SC take home the 3-2 victory. It was a long night, gentlemen. Sam, you haven't talked in a while. What were your thoughts on Sunday's events?
I think they looked better than they'd looked against Orlando. They still let the game get away from them by almost, really almost possibly losing the game. I mean, Minnesota was putting a lot of pressure on them, and they couldn't get out of their own half. What was weird is that the two goals happened right after defensive substitutions. So that was, not what you want to see. I think the delay helped in some substitution decision making, because now Berhalter was aware that he's going to have to play on short rest. So he took out Miram, he took out Higuain, you know, kind of gave Lala Sabubakar a little bit more time in, took out Gaston. So am I happy for the win? Sure. Am I happy that we're going to DC? Not really so much. Am I happy that we're not playing in the postage stamp that is Yankee Stadium? Yeah, but it's against a struggling team. This could have played in our favor in a one-game playoff. I don't know. The game itself, they generated a lot of chances, but they just looked hurried. They took shots that were unnecessary. They didn't take the extra pass that could have, you know, secured a goal, or, you know, they could have won this game by like probably about 5 or 6 goals had they just kind of calmed down, passed the ball around, got that. They had a couple of counterattacks that they had more than a couple of counterattacks that they could not capitalize on in 1-on-1, 2-on-2 situations. Matt Lamson did not have to make any sort of critical save that I can think of. And the weather was miserable, and I'm glad that game was over. And honestly, to be fair, I didn't care how the game ended. We saved the crew, and I was cool with that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you think about that, and a lot of folks, you know, it's winning the battle and winning the war. So it was a great afternoon all around, and I tend to agree with you, Sam. You know, being on the attacking side in the second half, I could think of Nico Hansen getting a couple of real key chances, and, you know, a Minnesota defender either sticking a foot out and getting a, you know, causing him to have a heavy touch or something like that. But, you know, let's talk about the substitutions a little bit, Sam, because you brought up a good point. Let's take a look at him as I wait for my page to come back up here. You talk about, you know, Pedro Santos starting on the bench. That's one big storyline, too, that we missed from the game.
But is it really a big storyline?
But, you know, Greg's always kind of claimed that, you know, he hasn't said that it's his guy, but, you know, can you let a DP sit on the bench when he's making that much money?
Yes. Yes, you can. And the reason you can is because you can spin it in a way of, I know we have more games at this point, and, you know, I need the, it's called strategery.
Strategery?
Is that George Bush's?
Yes,
George,
yes.
Bush's word, strategery.
Let's keep politics out of this.
Yeah, I think it was strategery, where he, you know, wanted to get Nico sometime. Is it a critical game? Yes. But maybe it's a matchup thing. Maybe he looked at the matchup and thought, maybe I should, you know, I don't have Christian Martinez for some ungodly weird reason.
He has that laceration over his eye that he's
does have the laceration over his eye. Yeah. But, you know, you don't have that. You don't have what would it hurt to on a team against the team. Somebody else, he wouldn't have done that, but he did. Alas, whatever.
I mean, Alex, you know, you took the game in from the stands, and I know a lot of folks in the Nordic aren't necessarily huge Pedro Santos fans. I thought, you know, he was relatively ineffective for the time that he was on the field for the, let's take a look, the 30 minutes that he was on the field. I thought it was a rather pedestrian half hour from the designated player.
Yeah, I mean, we were 2-0 up when he came on, and then it was 2-2 before you knew it. So that's not always a great sign. I didn't think he was particularly dangerous. I've always kind of wondered about some of these players when they come from really warm climates, how they are going to handle it when it's super cold out. And it was really freaking cold on this particular game day. So I don't know if that played into it at all, but yeah, he did not have a great game overall. Though I thought the team looked pretty good, looked better at least. It was nice to know that we could take our foot off the gas a little bit. If we had not known the result and it had been 2-2 going into the final minutes, I would have been a ball of stress, and I wasn't. I was just not caring at all and just kind of enjoying
myself.
Wouldn't
it have been a little funner though, like a little more fun though?
No. 150% no. Absolutely not. It wouldn't have been more fun. It would have been miserable.
You wouldn't have wanted
the
drama of decision day, MLS decision day.
No. Absolutely not. No. I don't want any more years taken off my life.
A little bit of drama to make it a little more interesting?
Nope. But I'm probably
Am I the
wrong
only
person to ask.
One?
No, yeah, you're a bad fan, Ralph.
Look, yeah, here's the thing. I honestly went into
Maybe
this
it's
game.
FOMO.
Yeah, I honestly went into this game not caring if they lost. If the season had ended yesterday or Sunday, I honestly would have not been upset. It has been a very strenuous, a very stressful, a very like brain melting, mushing season. And it would have, if it would have ended, I don't know, maybe that would have been just the closure on the season. Go out, don't let the door hit you where the Lord split you. You know, I couldn't care less. So I'm probably the worst person to ask about this.
I felt pretty similar. I felt for the most part, like whatever happens, the team is saved. That's all I really cared about is making sure that this wonderful team is here for generations to come. So like I said, we could have got totally destroyed and I would have been fine with it. But overall, it was a great day. I mean, we had that rain delay. I was watching the game one row in front of Austin City Councilwoman or Austin City Council member Leslie Poole, who was in attendance and just kind of wanted to get a feel for what Major League Soccer is like. Was in town for that and got a chance to talk to her during the rain delay. Which was kind of surreal on the back of seeing a bunch of my childhood idols play soccer, which was kind of surreal. So at that point, I really didn't care about the game. But yeah, I don't like stressful games, and that would have been rough. Knowing that we had clinched, I mean, when they put that up on the scoreboard, I just kind of let out this deep sigh. I was like, okay, we're going on. We got one more this season. But honestly, you know, we could go to DC and get destroyed, and I don't think I'm going to care. This season has been a total success as far as I'm concerned. You know, usually you judge success based on how far you make it in the playoffs and things like that. This team has different goals right now. The goal this season for the fans was let's do everything we can to save the team. And I think the goals for the players were let's try to support the fans the best way we can. And they did. And we did. And so as far as I'm concerned, everything's good at this point.
Let's switch gears there again, because that's a storyline that I missed from Sunday. Obviously, for folks out there, it was kind of hinted at by friend of the show and former podcast member Morgan Hughes that Leslie Poole would be in attendance for Sunday's game. Was later confirmed by Andrew Erickson sometime on Saturday afternoon. But Leslie Poole was in attendance, and, you know, people from her district were less than enthused by that appearance. Alex, I mean, how was her demeanor? You said she was kind of on a, I don't want to call it a reconnaissance mission, but a kind of a fact-gathering mission.
I mean, I think that she was here to learn more about our league. I think that she is a very serious person. I had the chance to talk to her for quite a while. I had talked to her a little bit before the game, told her a lot about my experiences with this league and with this team and with Anthony Precourt. You know, some information that I've volunteered that I've said on this podcast many times about conversations I had with him. And, you know, just kind of gave my take on things. And basically what I told her was, hey, you know, soccer's a great sport and Austin's going to be better for it. I told her my experience cheering for a team that wasn't in Major League Soccer. You know, I was a Columbus Zogs fan before I was a Crew fan growing up. And I loved that team. And I didn't care that they were, you know, college kids who never went on to do anything beyond college. I still loved that team. And I still loved the sport. And it didn't make any difference to me. And, you know, I guess the point I was trying to make to her was Austin Bold is not a step down in the eyes of the children of Austin. They are not going to know the difference or care. They're going to be their team, and they're going to love to go to those games. So if that's all Austin ends up with, Austin is going to be a better place for it significantly. And you know, she was not, I want to make this clear, whether it's to people in Columbus or people in Austin, she was not going here to try to rub salt in the wound of MLS to ATX fans, or she was not going here to try to make sure that, you know, soccer
oh,
and Austin
but I wish she was
something
oh but I wish she was
she is a very serious person and a very thoughtful person and a very open-minded person, And I walked away from my conversations with her. I was under the stage talking to her for a while. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if she had needed anything, there'd be somebody there who could help her. Morgan was off doing other stuff, and I know she didn't know a lot of people there. So there was me and actually an FC Cincinnati fan who was there, and we were kind of tagging along with her for a lot of that. But I came away from our conversation just being incredibly impressed with how serious she takes her job as an Austin City Council member, you know, trying to do what's best for her city and trying to find a solution that's going to make her city better and trying to find a solution that is good for the people of her city, you know, not necessarily the business interests from outside of the community, but really what's going to help Austin as a city long term. I've spent a lot of time with a lot of politicians and a lot of people who kind of deal in local government, and she was one of the most impressive people I've ever spoken to. I really, really was impressed. She's a great person, seems like, and I hope that she stays in Austin City Council for a long time. I wish we had more people like that in Columbus, honestly. If it doesn't work out for her in Austin, she should come up here and run for something. I'll vote for her. But yeah, it was great. I think she really got to see what kind of a family Columbus is, you know, see people walking up to each other and just hugging each other, saying, hey, it's so great to see you, stuff like that. She really got a feel for it, I think, and I hope she goes back to Austin and takes everything into consideration and keeps making good decisions for her city.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, you look at this governor's race in the state of Ohio, and, you know, it's a rock and a hard place for some people. So, you know, Leslie Poole, if you want to win a public office, come on down to us, or come on up to Central Ohio.
Well, and we should also mention that we had the potential governor of Ohio stopping by NORDECA. We had two people who were near and dear to Save the Crew fans' hearts stop by. You had Alex Fisher, who kind of walked up and in front of NORDECA, and he was wearing a brown shirt, and I think
his attire for Sunday was on point.
Yeah, brown shirt and a Save the Crew hat. And then you had Mike DeWine, Attorney General Mike DeWine, come over with his wife Fran, and he was wearing a crew scarf, and they came over and kind of waved to everybody, shook some hands. They both eventually got up in one of the capo stands and kind of waved to people. Not everybody is a Mike DeWine fan. Some people made that very clear when they came over, but it was good for them to kind of be there, and most people seemed appreciative of their work on this particular subject, other policies aside. And that was a nice moment. And yeah, just to see the way the communities come together, you know, the business community, the political community, everybody kind of got on the same page with this thing and said, hey, you know, we're not losing this team. It was really great. And to see people start to come through now that it's not officially over, but it's getting very close. See people come by to kind of take their victory laps. That's good. We need to get Zach Klein down there at some point to have him do his victory lap. He helped out a lot too. So maybe we'll start sending out invites to NORDECA to all the various government people who helped us out.
Well, it's like 99.2% over, but you know, there's still gotta get across the finish line there. But yeah, so it was a good day all around on Sunday. Weather aside, I think it took me about 2 days to thaw out. I don't know if Sam can confirm about how long it took him to thaw out, but I couldn't feel my toes after the game.
It wasn't really the thawing out as much as I think just, you know, with the cold and my old age, it was more of a joint stiffness kind of thing. And, you know, a little bit of dryness.
It's just all about the layers. It's all about the layers. And Copa 90 had free t-shirts at the Mega Tailgate. And they were Save the Crew shirts, had the Copa 90 logo in gold and black shirt. And on the back it said Save the Crew. And I was like, well, I'm already wearing two shirts. But then I thought, you know, three would be even better. So I took one, threw it on over top everything else I had, zipped up my jacket again, and I was
especially when the third one is free.
Absolutely. And it says Save the Crew on it. Hello. Yep. I mean, come on. Can't get better than that, right?
You know what I like about the cold weather is you can always add layers, but you can't take them off. And if it's too hot, you just can't take them off. Otherwise, it's illegal. But
well, so I was in NORDECA with my good friends Manny and Jordan Zimbrano. And I was talking to Jordan. I was talking to Jordan, and when the sun came out briefly right before kickoff, and it warmed up. and Jordan and I were like, you know what, let's each take off a layer. We can do this. It's going to be warm for a while. Literally 10 minutes later, as soon as that sun went away, we were freezing. We both like, okay, layers coming back on. So
so you're the reason it started raining 10 minutes into the game.
I can't take the blame for that, I think.
To be fair, the sun came out long enough for us to get a group picture, and that was really about it.
Yeah, yep. It was very brief. But, you know, in Columbus right now, it's hard to not be optimistic given all the stuff going on. So I think we were just like, okay, it's going to stay like this for a while. And not so much, but it was still a great day. Probably I really want to think about this. I think this might be the best day other than when we won MLS Cup in the history of being a Krug fan for me. I'm really trying to rack my brain to think if there was a better day. Maybe after the semifinals in 2015, but I really don't know.
That goal against Montreal in 2015 was pretty darn special.
So if you don't count the day that we saved the Krug, the day at Endeavor was probably my all-time favorite. But this is a close third behind that and MLS Cup final. Just a great, great, great day. And you get the feeling with it too that there are just going to be more great days. Like, this is not just the end of the greatness. This is just the beginning of the greatness. And, you know, we have all fought so hard to save this team as Krug fans, and we're going to have to fight just as hard to make it the kind of team that we all want to cheer for in the coming months and in the coming years. But I can't wait. You know, not having that axe dangling over my head is going to make me want to fight even harder just without the fear. You know, it's going to be a much more kind of joyful fight than a fight of desperation. So I can't wait for 2019. I can't wait. No, whatever happens later this week, I don't care. I just can't wait to get the ball rolling, to keep fighting for this team. I can't wait for them to make things official and then for us to start organizing, getting the word out, get people signed up for season tickets next year. It's going to be incredible. I cannot wait. Every game is going to be like that game this weekend. Every game. I cannot wait.
You heard it here first. A bold prediction from Mr. Stanek. But let's shift gears here, gentlemen. As Alex alluded, big week for Columbus Crew SC, big week for the league with the MLS, the 2018 Audi MLS Cup playoffs kicking off tomorrow night, if you can believe it. We get New York City FC and Philadelphia and FC Dallas against Portland on Wednesday night, and then DC United, Columbus Crew SC on Thursday the 1st, and LAFC and Real Salt Lake on Thursday, the late game on Thursday the 1st. Now, fellas, according to the mothership, they did a little bit of a survey here on MLSsoccer.com, and part of the bracket challenge, which if you want to get in on that before the playoffs kick off, they did a little bit of a survey here, and all of the home teams are heavy, heavy favorites. Let's go through the list here for New York City FC and Philadelphia Union. Those that have picked brackets, 82% have picked NYCFC to advance. Philadelphia has 18% of the vote. Tomorrow's game, too, it is FC Dallas with 46% of the vote, Portland Timbers with 54% of the vote. LAFC and Real Salt Lake, LAFC gets 88% of the vote, and RSL has 12% of the vote. The game that you guys all care about, because I'm a pro and save that for last because I like teases, DC United, according to those that submitted a bracket on MLSsoccer.com, DC United, 83% chance of winning, according to fans. Columbus Crew SC, 17%. Sam Fahmy, you're a statistics guy.
Mm-hmm. It makes complete
Do you think
sense.
Do you think the fans got it right?
Well, we're not going to know for sure if the fans got it right or wrong until Thursday at like 10 o'clock at night. But does the narrative warrant that kind of, that kind of survey result we're going to say? Yeah, absolutely. DC is a very, very hot team. They have been night and day difference between when they were, you know, we're going to say this before Wayne Rooney and after Wayne Rooney. And if he doesn't get Newcomer of the Year award, I don't know what people are thinking. So yes, absolutely legitimate. They have been crazy at Audi Field. It is Audi Field after all. for the Audi playoffs and the Audi League and the Audi driver people. So
against the Acura jersey sponsor.
So it's an Audi against Acura. That should be interesting. But you know, no, this makes total sense. And I'd be lying if I said I'm not severely concerned. Now, can this team play well enough to beat DC United? Are they capable of doing that? Yes, they are. The probability of that happening, I'm gonna say 40-60. But yeah,
so
I'm not gonna
say
80-some. If I was voting,
40-60.
If I had no rooting interest, like if neither one of those teams were mine, I'd vote DC. Okay. That DC would be my pick because logically that makes sense. Now, knowing what Columbus is capable of, because I've watched Columbus, you know, day in, day out, and live and in person, Columbus can beat DC. But considering their recent run of form, I don't on the road against a hot DC team, I don't know. I'd like to be wrong. I would like to be wrong, and they go out there and like kick DC's ass, but I don't know.
Alex, does that percentage come down a little bit for you? I mean, if you know, does 83-17 kind of freak you out a little bit?
No. I mean, like I said, I don't particularly care whether we win or lose this game. But I mean, DC's a beatable team. Wayne Rooney's good. I'm shocked that Wayne Rooney is good. I thought that he would give this league the Andrea Pirlo treatment and that he would gain 20 pounds overnight and be terrible. But he's taken it seriously, and the quality of MLS is well below the league he was playing in, so I'm not surprised he's been successful given that. But, I mean, we can beat him. We can beat him if we, you know, get lucky. And the weird thing about Major League Soccer playoffs is the teams are pretty even all the time anyway, so anybody can beat anybody. I mean, I remember when nobody thought we had a chance against Atlanta, and we beat them. So can we go there and get it done? Yeah, I think we can. Will we? Maybe, maybe not. I don't really care. The season's already been like a total success for me. I'm grinning just thinking about this year. So I hope we do it, but I mean, I'm not stressing about it. As for the whole kind of percentage thing or the fact that fans think that we aren't capable of stuff, I don't put a lot of stock in the opinions of general fans anyway. I mean, if you look at the MLS Cup voting, the fan voting for, you know, the top players of the league and stuff like that, it's always terrible. It's always a bunch of famous players. And so, yeah, I mean, people probably said, okay, well, who does Columbus have that's famous? You know, who does Columbus have that played for Manchester United? Nobody, so let's go with DC. I don't put any stock in that at all, to be honest with you. Are DC favorites? Yeah, probably. Are they heavy favorites? I don't think anybody's a heavy favorite at this stage. I'm not even sure that New York's a heavy favorite against Philly. So, you know, who knows? We'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, and I mean, if the last week of the season was any indication, I mean, it's kind of interesting because, you know, New York and Philly, New York's been kind of on a downward spiral, but they clock Philly for 3-1, and then you know, you look at Atlanta United, who essentially had the supporters' shield in hand, losing by going to Toronto. And then you look at LA Galaxy, the Fighting Zlatans, dropping that crazy game in Houston and missing out on the playoffs. But
speaking of, hold on. Can we just take a moment to appreciate how, you know, at the beginning of the season or before the season started, Yossi Zardes came to Columbus Crew, and now LA doesn't make the playoffs with Ola Kamara, and the Crew does with Zardes. Just want to say that. I'll just leave that there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of interesting. And, you know, in the season of bringing back former Crew players, Ola, the door's open if you ever want to come back, bud. I mean, it's totally fine. But, I mean, Alex, anything to add on that point?
On Los Angeles?
Yeah, well, or Ola Kamara missing out on the playoffs?
I mean, I think that Los Angeles is just a dumpster fire. I think they've been a dumpster fire for a long time. I think they got used to an era of soccer where you could buy one or two amazing players and just dominate on the backs of those one or two amazing players, and you didn't need a team. I don't particularly like the way they put together their rosters in general. you talk about Ola Kamara. Ola Kamara could stay in LA for all I care. I want Zlatan. You know, send Zlatan my way. Put Zlatan on a Greg Berhalter team, and he's gonna score 50 goals.
Oh my God!
He's gonna make goalkeepers cry. I mean, it's gonna be horrible. But yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of one of the weird things about this league is you've got all this weird unpredictability. Some people like that. Some people hate it. I don't know how I feel about it one way or the other. But yeah, it's definitely been a weird season. So we'll see how the playoffs go. I'm going to actually start watching the playoffs again now that I think that the team is for sure saved. That's a really good feeling because I would not have cared otherwise. I would have been like, screw this league. I'm going to step away for a while. But yeah, now I'm looking forward to getting back into it and trying to figure out what all I missed when I was boycotting non-crew games.
Yeah, and I mean, you make a great point. I mean, it's parity. MLS is parity. And, you know, it seems like Los Angeles has been stuck in kind of second gear for a while. You know, you get the LA, you get the David Beckham signing, you get Robbie Keane coming in there, and then they basically say, you know, let's get Roman Alessandrini and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and you can throw all the best players together, but if they don't have chemistry, it's shot. And, you know, that's kind of the thing that I think Greg Berhalter, and what we're very fortunate enough to have here in Columbus, is that Greg Berhalter is very good at getting role players to do their jobs. Teams without role players, you know, seldomly have any success. You know, if you don't have your Ethan Finleys lobbing up excellent crosses to Kai Kamara, who knows how well this team does in 2015. You know, if you don't have your Artur playing at, you know, the number eight and, you know, shutting people down from getting into the back line, who knows, you know, how this team does. If Will Trapp doesn't play in an advanced role as a six, you know, it's so on and so forth. But I mean, you get these players that know, Greg Berhalter has a knack for finding these players that know what their roles are and stick to them. And that's a great thing.
And hopefully that'll still work with the U.S. national team.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Kind of jamming square pegs in a round hole, so to speak, if he's following his predecessors. Hopefully that doesn't happen, though. But yeah, let's preview the game a little bit here on Thursday, guys. Columbus Crew SC heading to beautiful Audi Field for, I believe, the first visit, the inaugural visit to Audi Field. Last time Columbus Crew SC and DC United played, they were in Annapolis, Maryland, home of the Navy Midshipmen, as DC United were playing without a home at the time, and coming home for what they called a rare home game at a neutral site, which was very interesting. But DC United comes into this match in the last 10. They are unbeaten in their last 10. That is with 7 wins and 3 draws. Their last loss coming on August 29th to the Philadelphia Union, losing by the score of 2-0. But fellas, we touched on it. The introduction of former Manchester United legend and Everton homeboy Wayne Rooney into this game. I mean, there's a beautiful article about it for those folks that subscribe to The Athletic, which, don't ask me how, but I accidentally subscribed to it. Paul, friend of the Master Report, Paul Tenorio, or however you say his last name, wrote a really great article about how for youngster Luciano Acosta, who is a name that we hopefully will not hear much of on Thursday night, he was ready to quit on DC United until Wayne Rooney showed up and completely changed the culture. I mean, Alex, you've seen Wayne Rooney. You follow European soccer. What kind of talent, even at his old age, you know, Wayne Rooney still can pull a rabbit out of his hat for a time or two.
Well, I have been a Wayne Rooney hater for many years, so this is maybe not the best question for me. Even when he was with Manchester United, I always thought that he was not half as good as people gave him credit for. I feel like sometimes with English players, or really players from just their handful of countries, where if you reach a certain talent level and you become kind of the face of a national team, you get way more credit than you deserve. I think Wayne Rooney, for a lot of his career, was kind of like that. I thought with Everton, he was garbage after he moved on from United.
I was going to say first Everton stint or second one, but go ahead.
Second. He was very good with Everton the first time around. But yeah, his second stint, I thought, this guy is done. This guy is just kind of a mediocre talent at this point. And I guess in a lot of ways he is. I mean, if you get a mediocre player from the Premier League, they have the potential to tear up Major League Soccer. The defenses here are just not as technically talented as they are in Europe. You can easily kind of get around an MLS defender where in Europe you're just going to get stuffed right away. So he's making it work and he's trying hard. Like, there are so many plays I've seen from him where you think the play is over and he just outruns the other guy. I did not expect him to kind of show that sort of attitude. And maybe the time in Everton caused him to do that. I mean, maybe that's because he didn't want to end his career like that and he wants to kind of go out a winner. So I've been really, really surprised about that. He was always a very talented player. I mean, I think you have to watch for him. His movement is excellent. It's always been excellent. He's a better passer than a lot of people give him credit for. So even when he's not the one kind of finishing the chances, a lot of times he's the one creating them. His interplay with the other players with DC United seems to have been really solid most of the time. So he's definitely a dangerous player. He's a step above in terms of talent, basically anybody in the league except for Ibrahimovic and a couple other guys. But they were slotting him into a team that was already pretty good. And he's fit in really well. He's made them all better. And it's hard to kind of double up on Rooney because then you're freeing up Acosta and guys like that. So it's going to be a tough nut for us to crack. I still think we can get it done. I think that you can score goals against DC. But yeah, it's a tough ask. I'd still rather play DC than New York, though. I hate that small field, Yankee Stadium. I think it's really tough for us to play our open passing style on that field. So I would prefer that we end up with this than what we could have ended up with in New York. But definitely going to be a tough game, and Rooney's definitely kind of the main threat.
See, I find that fascinating that you say you'd rather play New York, especially with DC. You know, you touched on it a little bit. You've got Yamil Assad up, I believe he's on the right side now. Acosta at the 7 or the left side, and Rooney playing in as your 9 and occasionally dropping back as the false 9 there. But
sure,
I think DC's very, very potent, and I mean, there's no secret to that. But you know, you talk about it, Alex. You touched on it brilliantly. You know, Rooney's out there doing these hustle plays. I can think about that. You know, dare I call it a game winner where he makes a 40-yard run, tracking back to midfield, gets the slide tackle, dispossesses the defender or dispossesses the ball handler, and then gets it back up the field and nails a perfect cross on a rope to Luciano Acosta, who at 5 foot nothing heads it in. And, you know, DC United walk off with the win in added time. You know, it's those hustle plays that Crew SC are really going to have to kind of try to outlast DC United, because, you know, it's going to be a tough battle on Thursday. You know, and I think it's going to be a good game, but much like you guys, I mean, I want Crew SC to win, but at the same token too, I'm not going in exactly with high hopes. It's not how I felt going in against Atlanta last year. Last year, I believed, especially with the news coming down so close to the playoffs, thought we were basically walking into the slaughterhouse and we weren't going to get out of Mercedes-Benz alive. But, you know, hopefully I'm wrong this year. But Sam, I mean, you know, what do you think? How do you feel heading into Thursday's game?
It's funny. I was just scrolling through Facebook and a video from MajorSoccer.com popped up about how incredible DC United has been at Audi Field since it opened, to the tune of 12-2-1. So yeah, that's tough, and they've got momentum. They've got a lot of momentum in their favor, but I don't know. Okay, so full disclosure, I'm honestly not gonna be upset if they lose. I'm not. Because it's fine. I would be if it was their last game and we didn't have a team next year, and you know, we're gonna live to die another day, I guess. And I'm perfectly fine with that. Having said that, like I said earlier, can they beat DC? Is DC beatable? Absolutely. You get guys that are not having their best game, you know, on DC or whatever. That play by Rooney should haunt them. You know, against Orlando, which we should have known back then that was the beginning of the end for Orlando's season, and probably the beginning of the end also for DC season, the way it has gone since that game. So, I don't know. Did I answer your question? I feel like I rambled.
I mean, you did okay, but, you know, it's rambling. It's the type of hard-hitting coverage you expect from the Massive Report podcast nowadays.
Yeah, I'm a photographer.
Well, I am too by some trades, but you know, hey, it's life. But you know, let's get some predictions in here, some thoughts for the game. But before we do that, we'd like to give a nice little shout out to our friends at the Old North Arcade. Once again, 2591 North High Street in beautiful Clintonville, Ohio. Visit www.oldnortharcade.com. Hit it up and dope porches and stuff like that. Let's go around the old, what do we call this thing? I'm a great host. I don't know why you guys gave me the mic.
It's a panel. Anyway, it's a panel.
It's a Latin term for podcast. That's right. Anyway, so, you know, I'm always working hard to get you deals, Sam. Anyway, the, Alex, let's talk about it. You know, it's, with some predictions, how are you feeling heading into Thursday's game, my friend? You already said you don't care if we win, which is fine. We've established that. But what's the score, sir? Give me a score.
Well, so yeah, I'm really not that worried. I one thing I'm kind of interested in is what the team is going to look like. I mean, I think if
they're going to wear black and gold.
Well, if our team was not secure. I think that for a lot of the players, guys like Will Trapp, guys like Alex Crenali, guys like Federico Higuain, guys who really want this team to kind of stick around, you know, they really care. Especially a guy like Will, you know, it's a large part of his life is kind of tied up in the identity of this team. I think that you would see the crew coming out as if they were a cornered animal. We're out of the corner in a lot of ways. In a way that we were not last season, for the playoffs last season. So one of two things can happen. They can take their foot off the gas a little bit, some mentally, the way that a lot of fans are, and just kind of saying, look, mission accomplished, whatever happens, happens, let's go out, have fun, enjoy it. Or they can get even more jazzed up and say, we know what our future is, I know I'm not going to have to move, I know I'm not going to have to figure out what the heck I'm going to do with my girlfriend, if we're going to move across the country together, or what the heck is going to happen. And they kind of get even more amped up from that. The team that we saw on Sunday, they looked really energized. After the game, you saw Will and Josh and those guys come over, and they were just, you know, going crazy. There was so much energy there, and they were, you know, screaming at the crowd, like, let's go. So if they bring that with them to DC, I think we're in good shape. If they take the foot off the gas, we're going to get slaughtered. I mean, we're going to get picked apart. And we still are going to concede some goals, I think. I think this is going to end up being a shootout. But you know what? This has been a season where we have shocked everybody, and maybe we're not done shocking people just yet. I mean, we've definitely had our fair share of success this season off the field. So even if we don't have any on the field, I don't think people will hold it against them, but I think we might have some on the field. I'm going to say 3-2. The crew are going to win, and it's going to be another late winner. I'm confident that Zardes is going to keep this rolling. I think we're going to get something going in DC. I think the crowd's going to get knocked out of it pretty early. If they think things are not going their way, maybe we can silence them. And I think we're going to get the win. I'm going to say crew advance.
3-2 in extra time, or is it going to be 3-2 in regulation?
No, at 82nd minute winner, something like that. Towards the end of the game, we're going to get it done.
Okay. Mr. Sam, how you feeling?
So I looked back at what our scores against DC were. And as I look through both, I'm like, we did those before Wayne Rooney. But we had a 3-1 win at home at Moffray Stadium and a 1-0 loss at the field in Annapolis, Maryland. So, man, normally if this was regular season, I'd predict a tie. And, you know, Lalas Aboubakar contains Wayne Rooney, or, you know, Gaston Saro contains Wayne Rooney. But, I'm going to have to go with what I wanted to predict earlier, but didn't have the heart to do it. But I'm going to say the crew lose 2-0.
All right. 2-0 loss from Sam. And, you know, unfortunately, this is the matchup I didn't like. And I turned to Kyle Robinson of the Columbus Dispatch and also of the Soccer Speakeasy, which I don't know if I can pimp up other podcasts on our show, but the Soccer Speakeasy, very good show if you guys get a chance to listen to, with our good buddy Andrew Erickson and Michael Arace, and or Rache, as some folks would like to call him, and Kyle Robinson. But I told Kyle, I said, you know, this isn't a matchup I'm looking forward to necessarily. I think Rooney's playing lights out. That front three of Assad and Acosta and Rooney is scarcely ever loving bejesus out of me. But, you know, unfortunately, I'm with Sam. I think it's going to be a 2-0 loss. I think, you know, Crew SC, a little too leaky of a defense for my liking, especially if you're letting Minnesota United score two on you in about 10 minutes or so. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough one. But, hey, at least we got 2019. It looks promising for 2019, which is very exciting. We won the battle. We won the war. Crew SC will be back better than ever in 2019. And, hey, if we get to the knockout round, I will be pleasantly or if we get to the first series there, I will be pleasantly surprised, and I'll see y'all on Sunday. But on that note, gentlemen, it's about time to wrap it up here. Any final thoughts?
I just want to say, you know, thanks for those of you who are listening still, if you've made it this far in the podcast, thanks for sticking with us this season. I know we'll have another episode after the playoff game. And if we advance, we'll obviously have more shows continuing. But thanks for sticking with us, and thanks for sticking with the crew. This has not been an easy season for anybody, I think. But, you know, we all got through it. There are going to be so many better times ahead. I cannot wait. This team is going to be almost unrecognizable next season, I think. We're going to do it big. It's going to be amazing. Our new ownership group is going to take us in a great direction, I'm sure. And it'll all be worth it in the end, I think. But just wanted to say thank you to everybody for sticking it out with us through all this crazy, depressing madness that we have endured the last, you know, 12 months or so. So thank you.
Yeah, to echo that sentiment, thank you guys. You know, it's been tough. I mean, from a fan standpoint, from a reporter standpoint, it's been difficult to try to see this and not know what the future was going to be. I made a sappy post on social media the other day that, you know, I was fully anticipating crying uncontrollably on Sunday. I thought Sunday was it. I was making peace with, you know, I was going to edit my photos sitting on the field and, you know, kind of recount all the stuff that was going to happen. But I don't have to do that because it seems like there's a lot of good things to be happy about. And, you know, I'm certainly thankful for the audience to give us this platform to talk about the team that we know and love. And it really is an honor and a pleasure to be with you guys every Monday for the foreseeable future and hopefully for much longer into the future. So certainly thankful for that. Sam, I know you're shaking your head over there. Is there, you're all good? All right. He's given us the, he said it's time to go home. He needs to go to bed. So, oh, wait, you're already home. Just kidding. All right, gentlemen, for Sam Fahmy, for Alex Danick, for our partners who could not be here, Patrick Murphy and Bart Logan, my name is Ralph Schudel. You guys have yourself a fantastic evening, day, whatever time you're listening to this. Have a wonderful one. Go Crew, beat DC on Thursday. We'll see you next time.